Welcome to the Savvy Shopkeeper Retail Podcast. I'm your host, Kathy Cruz. Just like you, I'm an independent retail business owner. I love the home decor and gift boutique I co-own with my sister, but I don't want it to consume me or my life. Join me each week as I share lessons learned, helpful tips, and valuable information for your retail business and life. Whether you're buying your products or making your products, whether you're a $25K business or a $2.5 million business, I'm on a mission to help indie retailers work less, profit more, and grow. Let's get started on today's episode. Welcome to episode 215 of the Savvy Shopkeeper Retail Podcast, what I learned from the 2024 Savvy Shopkeeper Survey. I'm your host, Kathy Cruz. My intention for this episode is to just share some of what I learned from the Savvy Shopkeeper Survey, the most recent one that I published. If you took the time to complete the survey, thank you so much for sharing with me. Like, really, thank you. I do appreciate it. I want to mention that fewer shopkeepers took this survey compared to years past when I've offered it. And my guess is I lost some survey takers because I asked a couple of specific financial questions. However, asking these types of questions really helps me understand all of you more. So please know that moving forward. It is a genuine request to get to know all of you better, not me being nosy. And then another thing that I want to mention is, do you remember when I said to be prepared for whatever may come your way with a survey? Well, unfortunately, that happened with this particular survey. The same person chose to enter 24 times. I won't share how I identified this and how it was done, but I did spot it. And unfortunately, that meant I had to spend extra time scrubbing the data, meaning I had to clean it up and remove all of those duplicate fake entries so that I could provide myself and all of you with the most accurate results. But again, I don't want to focus on the negative. I'd rather focus on the nearly 100 people who took it. And again, say thank you because I really, really appreciate it. That's what gives me information to help all of you. That's what helps me give you this episode every time I have a survey because it's insightful, sometimes validating, sometimes educational for all of you. Needless to say, the person who entered 24 times was not given a chance to win a gift card, but I do want to congratulate Master Shopkeepers member Cindy of Bayside Gallery for winning the gift card. Thank you, Cindy, and I'm glad you won. Thank you to everyone who legitimately completed the survey. Again, one more time, I do appreciate it. Let's talk about the results. I would say about half of the respondents were some form of gift and or home decor store. Meaning that they might have other types of products that they sell in the store, but they also sell gift. So it's not surprising to me that over half of them were either some form of gift or home store. But there was a wide range of store types. There was apparel stores, lifestyle stores, vintage, antique, hobby, toy, outdoor gear, quilt, party, souvenir, yarn shops, and more. That's just a small portion of who contributed to the survey. The next thing I learned is that 53% of the respondents have been open for more than 5 years. And I'm over here clapping. You see the clapping emoji right now. More than 5 years. Please take a moment to pat yourself on the back. We all hear how hard it is for brick and mortar to survive. So that more than half of the store owners who completed the survey have been open more than 5 years, that says a lot about you. So make sure you pause and celebrate that. 18% of the respondents generate more than $500,000 in revenue. That's a little less than last time I offered the survey. But again, I just want to share that tidbit in case it's helpful. The median AOV, the median average order value, was $47.15. Now, I haven't asked this in previous surveys, and there was a wide range of responses. And that's why I chose to go with the median instead of the average. Because with the median, you get rid of the really low ones and the really high ones, and then you average everything out. So the median AOV was $47.15. Regarding revenue and profit, because I did ask quite a few questions around this, more than half of the respondents chose to actually leave a comment about their revenue and profit response when I asked those questions. I thought that was interesting, although I shouldn't be surprised, right? Like, I feel like we always have something to say about our revenue and or the profit we're making in the business. Many comments ranged from, I'm grateful for the revenue, and I need to remind myself to be grateful for the revenue, to just, you know, other general comments about profit, like wanting more, working on it, making improvements to it, cutting expenses so that you can profit more. They were all very interesting to read. Almost every respondent listens to the podcast, either sometimes or all episodes. And not that this particular tidbit is helpful to you, but I want to say thank you. Thank you so much for listening. 80% of you are in stage 3 or higher of the shopkeeper stages. And the shopkeeper stages is a framework that I created after I really spent time talking to lots of Master Shopkeepers members, lots of one-on-one clients, people at conferences when I attend conferences and speak, just getting to know retailers in general. What I appreciated the most was that almost all of you knew which stage you're in. This is a fairly new framework that I created, so it's taken a lot of repetition, talking about it in podcast episodes, pointing people to the quiz to take the quiz. Because the quiz isn't just about, here's a list of helpful podcast episodes. The quiz is helpful in the sense that when I talk about it on podcast episodes or when I teach in Master Shopkeepers, you have an idea of what stage you're in and maybe what your pain points are if I'm talking about your stage or what the struggles are normally in that stage, what you need to work on when you're in that stage. But it was just really cool to see that so many of you knew which stage you're in. This episode is brought to you by the Savvy Shopkeeper Quiz. After years of research and learning from thousands of retailers, I determined there are 6 stages of shopkeeping. But what's more important is knowing the action steps store owners can take during each stage. These steps can help you focus, create efficiency, and improve profitability so you can grow. Take the quiz to find out which shopkeeper stage you're in. Plus, you'll get a helpful and customized list of podcast episodes and 2 free resources specifically for the stage you're in now. I reference the stages often in podcast episodes and when I teach online, so it's helpful to know which stage you're in. Visit SavvyShopkeeper.com/quiz to take the quiz. Another interesting bit of information is that more than half of the respondents indicated that they're interested in learning more about stage 6, and this is a new stage that I added this year, the scaling retailer. If you didn't listen to my episode about growing versus scaling a retail business, go back and listen to episode 175. If you want the direct link, it's SavvyShopkeeper.com/episode175. We will link it in the show notes, of course. But in episode 175, I explained that opening multiple locations doesn't necessarily mean you're scaling a retail business. Scaling means your revenue grows exponentially while your operating expenses remain the same or don't increase substantially. So for instance, a store owner, let's say for example, they own their own building and they have their retail store in that building, and then they start manufacturing their own handmade product. So they make, sell, and ship that product from the same building, let's say to hundreds of other retailers. That's an example of a scaling retailer. You can learn more about this and other ways to scale in episode 175. The person that makes in wholesales isn't the only way to scale a retail business. I just want to make sure I mention that. It's just one example. But I'll be talking more about this in future episodes too. Speaking of making your own products, 14% of respondents make and sell their own products, and 10% of the respondents provide some type of service. So I'm guessing maybe custom shirt printing, interior design services, custom painted furniture, things like that. 75% of the respondents attend markets, meaning they attend market events to buy products for their stores. More than half buy from fairs, online markets. which isn't surprising. And at this point, I've published a podcast episode about Faire's new program for people that are opening their stores and can use a $20,000 budget to buy products for their store. We will link that in the show notes of this episode too. It's a great way to get started without taking on a loan or incurring a lot of credit card debt. After Faire's online markets, because they have like a summer and a winter market that they do online, the next most popular market that people attend is an in-person one, and that was America's Mart. Again, no surprise, followed by Vegas. And then this one kind of surprised me. The next most popular that came up was New York Now, which I'm hoping to go to and attend the first time for the first time. I think it's in August. I asked a specific question about what type of retail education would make the most impact. And let me add that the options I provided were not all inclusive. They're specific to what I focus on and teach. So they were specifically about time management, profit, finances, and systems. And the biggest response to this question, I have to share that nearly 80% of respondents, I think it was around 78%, said that planning and working ahead would make the most impact on their business. I don't know why I wasn't expecting this, but I should know this, right? Like that's why the planner, the Savvy Shopkeeper digital planner resonated so much because it was a tool to help all of you do that. I will say we're starting to work on planner number 3, and we are doing things a bit differently this year. So please, please stay tuned for all updates on the planner. Some of you, maybe all of you, are going to want to hear what we're doing differently this year. It was also no surprise that marketing was typed in the other field quite a few times as a write-in entry. When I specifically asked, like, what education and information would be helpful to you. When I asked about your struggles, the top 5 did not surprise me and validated why I do what I do. And one response in particular may have inspired a future in-person event. So stay tuned on that too. You hear the excitement in my voice on that. Like I just want to share right away, but I have to pause. I have to wait, but it's coming. When I asked what your strengths are, it was pretty consistent. And I thought this was cool to read. Again, not surprising. But here's the list of strengths that you all shared. Customer service, experience, meaning like the in-store experience, product selection, store displays, brand uniqueness, and your teams. I love that this came up as much as it did in the comments. Like really, really, it warmed my heart. And it made me happy for all of you because I say it all the time, if you want to grow a retail store, yes, you can be a solopreneur, but that's only going to get you so far. You need people to support you so that your business can grow, so that you can dedicate time to the things that will grow the business. So I just love how much some of you were gushing about your teams. It was so cool to see. And the last one that several of you mentioned was your reputation. That means a lot to us as store owners, right? I mean, it meant a lot to me and my sister. That's why we focused on things like our store hours, being dedicated to them, you know, sharing information, being helpful, giving people the links that they want, being good community leaders and store owners. All of that was important to us. 71% of respondents said they were pleased with or feel like they're getting where they want to be with revenue. I feel like this is much better than past surveys, and I have some guesses why, but I won't get into it today. But I thought that was great. This episode is brought to you by my new free resource, Valuable Data to Collect for Your Brick and Mortar Store. One of the questions I hear most often is, how is my business making money, but I'm not making money? I ran a profitable brick and mortar business from day one, and the reason why is because I used data to make decisions. In my new free guide, I'm sharing all the systems that I would set up and the data I would collect if I were to start a store from scratch again. Whether you're preparing to open or you've been open for years, it's never too late to start tracking. Visit SavvyShopkeeper.com/data to get the guide. I recently shared on social media how women historically had to have a male co-signer when looking to fund a business until an act was passed in 1988. Yes, you heard that right. 1988. I was in high school. We'll link the Instagram post in the show notes, but the response on both Facebook and Instagram was way more than I usually get on a post, and it's because many of you didn't know about this act. But this is what I said in the post. The Women's Business Ownership Act of 1988 prohibited state laws that required women to secure a male relative as their co-signer on business loans. So it ended that requirement where women had to have a male relative co-sign a business loan for them. It still blows me away. Yes, 1988. I often think of two things when I think about this act. Number one, I see how much women entrepreneurs beat themselves up for not understanding business concepts, for not doing better, for not knowing more, for struggling with the financials. Insert whatever you beat yourself up about. I am not looking to be a victim or to make you a victim. However, the reality is we as women weren't nurtured or taught how to be business owners until recently. Yes, it's been almost four decades since the act passed in 1988, but we're centuries behind. Number two, when a landlord tells you that your husband, who is not your business partner, has to sign the lease too, I want you to question it. That's actually what I said on the post. So why am I mentioning this now in this episode? It's because I'm finding women shopkeepers struggle with the finances, but even more so, they beat themselves up for mentally not understanding it all. And our minds can be so brutal. However, of course, I want you to give yourself some grace. While men have been taught and nurtured to be business owners, women have not. But it doesn't mean we can't learn. It doesn't mean we can't be savvy shopkeepers. We can learn. I asked this very similar question about profit on the survey, what people were thinking about when it came to the profit on their statements. And this one dipped. It was 57% said they're pleased with or feel like they're getting where they want to be. Now, we spent a lot of time talking about finances and master shopkeepers last month. I hosted a month-long weekly Zoom series on the topic of metrics. I called it March Metrics. Part of what resulted from March Metrics was how members naturally started thinking about cash flow. Oh man, I could see it. Like I could see it in posts and in comments and in conversations on the calls. It just was very natural. If you're talking about profit and you're talking, or if you're talking about metrics, that it would lead you to thinking about all the cash that comes in and out of your business. Now, with the tagline like work smarter, profit more, and grow, yes, I focus on profit. But let me be clear. Not because profit defines the success of a business, not profit alone, because one single metric alone doesn't define success. However, being profitable and understanding why you are or aren't profitable is one big step towards cash flow success. So before I wrap this up, I want to tell you about a Zoom class, a Zoom workshop class that I'm hosting. It's called Stop the Drip. In this masterclass, I will help you understand why and where your business is leaking profit. The date of the class is Tuesday, April 16th, 2024, from 1 to 3 p.m. The cart will close on Sunday, April 14th, 2024 at 8 p.m. and you'll have replay access for 60 days. I should say the cart will close Sunday, April 14th unless it sells out first. So one more time, you will get replay access for 60 days. One step in mastering cash flow is understanding why your business is or isn't profitable. And when I did ask in an open-ended question what the struggles are for the store owners who took the survey, cash flow was number one. Every drip that comes out when you're losing money in your business or when you're not profiting more is money going down the drain. And yeah, sure, one drip doesn't seem like a big deal, but over time, it can add up to a serious profit leak. You notice I said one step. Because as much as I'd like to say cash flow in an indie retail business is simple, and it just involves a bank balance or a singular metric or number, that's just not the case. It involves so much more. However, this is a great place to start. Just like fixing a faucet and you're finding and fixing the leak and how important that is to get the water to stop dripping, same applies here. If you ignore the leaks, you're letting your hard-earned cash and effort in your business slip away. So this will answer questions like, are you pricing to succeed? Are you paying too much in rent? Are you overspending? Are you overhiring? Or are you underhired? This can explain one reason why you're exhausted in your business. All questions that will be answered when you take this workshop. In order to take this class, I want to make sure I say this. In order to take this class, you do need a 12-month profit and loss statement. You don't have to send your income statement to me. You just need to have it for the class. Just print it and have it in front of you. You'll receive my Retail Profit Pie Google Sheet tool to copy. It's super easy to copy with one click. And then I will walk you through how to use it. And more importantly, how to understand what it's telling you using your own numbers from your own profit and loss statement. So I do this one-on-one. I do this one-on-one in the Retail Profit Program when I work with one-on-one clients. This is a way for me to teach a whole group of you how to do this without you having to send me any information. You can do it on your own and I will walk you through and be able to answer questions. This class is ideal for the store owner who buys and resells goods. I want to make sure I mention that. So if you order from Fair and sell those goods, if you go to market and sell those goods, I might consider other versions of this class, like let's say, for example, for people who also provide a service. But even then, if you have numbers as a whole, you can participate in this class. For the first round of this class, I'm offering it at an intro price of $39. And I'm only opening up 50 spots. I want to make sure that I can answer questions in a small group setting. Next time I offer this masterclass, the price will increase and I will consider opening more spots. I just want to make sure that I can do this in a smaller group, answer everyone's questions, and this class will most likely be 2 hours, so be prepared for that too. One final note. If you're a Master Shopkeepers member, you're welcome to sign up for this, but you have access to the tool and multiple video lesson replays on the Retail Profit Pie in the lab, and it's included in your membership. So you don't have to sign up for this. Don't feel like you have to. You have access to replays and the actual tool in the lab. If you are considering signing up for this and you have any questions about the class, please DM me on Instagram. My username is @SavvyShopkeeper, or send an email to me and my team at hello@SavvyShopkeeper.com. If you know you want to sign up for the class, because this one could sell out, I'll encourage you to go to SavvyShopkeeper.com/StopTheDrip all together. SavvyShopkeeper.com/StopTheDrip to sign up for this workshop. It's an online workshop. Again, we'll be on Zoom, planned for 2 hours, and it is going to be on Tuesday, April 16th from 1 to 3 p.m. Okay, it's time to wrap up this episode. Again, I know I've said it, but I can't help it. I always want to say thank you because I know how precious your time is. And the fact that so many of you took the time, even if it was just a few minutes to fill out the survey, thank you. I sincerely appreciate it. I share the results because store owners often tell me they feel lonely on this journey. And I hope sharing some of this insight helps you see that you're not alone and that many store owners experience the same things that you do. Sometimes the information, like I mentioned earlier, also validates what you're experiencing. And most importantly, I share some of this stuff so that you can see what's possible. If you found this podcast episode helpful, please share it with a retail business friend or leave me a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts or whatever podcast app you listen on. If you want to see the show notes to this episode or find links to anything I mentioned, and I mentioned quite a few things, you'll visit my blog at SavvyShopkeeper.com/episode215. SavvyShopkeeper.com/episode215. Until the next episode, be savvy and boss up.
My little brother's friends have been camped out at our place for 2 days straight.
Three.
It's because of the Xfinity 10G network. Internet that can handle a house full of screens at once with, like, basically no interruptions. And it's only getting faster. When I was their age, internet like this was a pipe dream.
You sound like my grandpa.
Please go home.
Introducing the next generation 10G network, only from Xfinity. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas.